weeks ago entitled Free Grace Only. And the last 2 weeks I've really gone into why man needs God's grace. Because there's no way that we could ever reach what God demands. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you look at how God describes us in our fallen state, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. What man can know it? The mind of man is polluted, clouded by sin, and it's why the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Our minds aren't right. Carnal mind is enmity against God. It's hostile to God, His law, His government, His ways. And the will of man, we covered this last week. Man's will is not some little critter that is separate from his mind and heart and somehow has some good spark in it that it can choose to do good. No, it follows the dictates of a deceitful heart and a sinful mind. And so the will always chooses that which is contrary to God, especially in the realm of salvation. It's the reason why there are so many free will religions that are ineffectual. They are telling people, God's done everything He can do, now it's all up to you. Well, I'm here to tell you, if it's all up to you, you're going to hell. That's the way it is. God intervenes. He gives men, women, boys, and girls the grace to believe the gospel. Now today I'm going to get on a more the brighter side of this subject. I've shown you why salvation must be all of grace. Because man cannot earn it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we started our series off in Romans 4, where God makes it clear that you're not to him that it worketh not, but believeth. Is the one, believeth on Christ, he's the one that righteousness is imputed to. God doesn't owe us anything. If you could earn salvation, it means that God would be obligated to save you. He's not obligated to anyone. We're the ones in need. Now, today we're going to start another aspect of this series, God's free grace in salvation. Salvation, simply stated, is a deliverance. If you were to address it theologically, it would be a deliverance from the punishment of sin. That's justification by faith. Delivered from punishment. Delivered from what sin's penalty demands. We're saved, they're delivered from the penalty of God's wrath in justification. That is a position that's unchangeable. When God gives you the grace to believe, that'll never be altered. And so we're saved from the penalty of sin when we believe on Christ. We're being saved, all of grace, by the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's the process of sanctification. We are saved, justified on account of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and His righteousness imputed to us. That gives us a right standing before God. But God doesn't end there in salvation. He puts His Spirit within us. He opens our minds and gives us an understanding of His Word and begins the process of saving us from the power of sin in sanctification. And then there's one day, and it could be today, we are going to be delivered, saved from the very presence of sin. The rapture could happen today. He could call us and glorify us, and we'd never, ever have to deal with the old sinful nature ever again. So, what we've done so far is to show that every man in his natural state is incapable of saving himself or keeping himself saved by good works or standards. And I believe that the Bible teaches that salvation from beginning to end is a work of God, wrought in man, apart from man's good works, apart from his decision-making process or free will, apart from his religious performances. I do believe that once God has done a work of grace in the individual, He enables and empowers that saved person to live a changed life, pursuing holiness and godliness. This is not preached much today, but if you've never been saved, if you've never been changed, you've never been saved. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And now you desire a different life, a different way. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Our pursuit of holiness and the practice of good works are the evidence that we have been truly saved. They're not the cause of our salvation. People have that turned all around. Now, when it comes to this doctrine of salvation, deliverance from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin, I think it can be summed up with what the prophet Jonah expressed when he was in the belly of the great fish or whale. He said it so concisely, and I agree 100% with his theology. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Very concise. God planned, purposed, performed, purchased, and preserves the salvation of all of His elect. That's for those of you that like alliteration. See that? All peace strung together there. Plan, purpose, perform, purchase, preserves. But that's not the way this sermon's going to go. I just threw that in there for people that like alliteration. From beginning to end, every aspect of salvation is a work of God. Every aspect of salvation is associated with God's free and sovereign grace to unworthy, undeserving, hell-bound sinners. There is nothing in any man that moved God to save them. Every man is a sinner, is an abomination in the sight of God. filled with sin, laden with iniquity, rebellious against the holy government of God. So what was it that moved God to save a multitude out of Adam's fallen race from sin and destruction? What is it? Free grace only. That's all. Grace. God's unmerited favor bestowed upon unworthy sinners. And it goes all the way back before the foundation of the world. This purpose of grace. Pretty amazing, isn't it? That before time was ever measured, before matter or space as we know it existed, when God was alone, when the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwelt in perfect harmony and solitude, when there was nothing, God's unmerited favor bestowed on sinners was manifest in His decree of election, which took place before the world began. It amazes me that I am loved with an everlasting love. It's a wonderful thing to know that you're loved by your parents, by your spouse, by your friends. But that love, it really has a beginning. The love that God has for His people has no beginning. It's as eternal as He is. Before the foundation of the world, God loved unlovable sinners and chose them in His Son. Not because of any goodness or merit that He saw in them, but because of His own good pleasure, because of His own sovereign will, because it simply pleased Him to rescue a multitude who were sinful in Adam and change them by His grace for all eternity. And it's expressed, I think, one of the best places in the New Testament. I've often called it a New Testament psalm of praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1, 3 through 7, not one mention of man's work, man's will, man's goodness, man's righteousness, all of God. From beginning to end. This election was not based on any foreseen merit or faith. Some will say, well, God looked down in His omniscience and saw who would repent and believe, and on that basis, He decreed that they would be saved. That's utter nonsense. God didn't see, you know how God saw us? It's expressed in Psalm 14, in Romans 3. There is none righteous. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. So it's not based on anything that God saw in us. In fact, Romans 11, 5 and 6 says, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. We're saved by sovereign grace alone. And it humbles my heart to know that God chose to love me before the world began and loved me with an everlasting love, because I am no better than the vilest sinner that goes to hell. Yet God, in sovereign mercy, chose me to spend an eternity with Him in heaven. I've heard people say, I don't know why God would choose me. But I do know why. I know exactly why. Because He did it after the pleasure of His own good will. He did it on purpose. I'm not worthy of it. But I do know the reason why. It's because of God. Because of His purpose of grace. And God's free grace that was planned before the world began in the decree of election is demonstrated in time in regeneration or the new birth. See, every lost man abides in spiritual darkness and deadness, but God in sovereign grace brings to life His elect through the power of the Holy Spirit. The new birth is a work of God alone. Apart from man's free will or any religious performance. That's why I detest any doctrine that says that you can be born of God by an ordinance. You're not born again by sprinkling water on an unsuspecting infant's head. That's not regeneration. You're not born of God by going under the waters of baptism. No, you're born of God in a spiritual, powerful, miraculous way, a way that only God can bring about. Romans 9, 15 and 16. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It's not according to man's will. That's not how regeneration takes place. The new birth is in no way tied to man's corrupt will, but rather can be traced to the sovereign will of God as its source. James 1:18, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The only reason a saved person is capable of producing any good works is because they are God's direct spiritual creation. I've already quoted Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Everybody knows that. That's my go-to verse. You know, when I was first saved, I didn't know hardly anything about the Bible, but I memorized Ephesians 2, 8, 9. No matter what question people would ask me, I'd always say, I'm not sure about that. But I do know For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then, when I got a hold of verse 10, it just even magnified that. Because it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Everything good that comes about through the saving grace of God is all traced back to free grace alone, to God's work of grace. God's free grace is demonstrated in the effectual call of the elect when the Holy Spirit draws them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the gospel. You see, nobody, if you're preaching a gospel that everybody understands, it's not the biblical gospel. If lost people can somehow think that, oh, you're giving me these steps to follow, I can do that. The gospel is so foreign to man's thinking, because what I'm telling you to do goes against everything you think you should do. Everybody think, well, I know what I'll do. I'm going to get things right. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to shake the preacher's hand. I'm going to sing. I'm going to put money in the offering box. I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to start going to church. Oh man, you know what? None of that will save you. Because salvation is when you look outside of yourself and your own resources and your own righteousness and your own works. You look to Christ alone. I mean, it was a revolutionary statement by John the Baptist when he saw the Lord for the first time and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's basically stating that the way your sins can be dealt with is only by looking outside of yourself to the only one qualified to take away your sins. And that's through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel demands that you look away from your own works to look to the perfect work of Jesus Christ. And people don't understand that. That's why there's so many false religions. That's why every false religion, whether it be Muslim or Catholicism or all the different ways of work salvation that Protestant denominations have devised, they're all got a faulty foundation because they start with the works of men. And nobody wants to admit the hard fact, men are rotten. They're wicked. They're sinful. Some, like me, even more so. You all just know me from, I've been saved for 41 years. You didn't know me way back when. And I'm really glad you didn't. Because I'm ashamed of my life before I was saved. But it was all in the purpose of God. And I understand that and I see that now. But if you think for one minute that you're good enough to go to heaven based on who you are, who your parents were, what church you go to, how many good works you've gathered up, all you have is the religion of Cain, and it's going to damn you for all eternity. Don't be deceived. It's only in Christ. No lost man understands the gospel or desires Christ as Lord and Savior until the Holy Spirit calls him out of darkness into light by divine power. I've preached the gospel over and over and over again from the pulpit, at people's doorsteps, on the internet, on the radio, through the printed word. I have spent my whole life preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Why isn't it that this place isn't just overflowing with people? Because I've preached an accurate gospel. I may not be eloquent, and I may be somewhat abrasive, if you can believe that. It's part of my personality, I understand that. But I do preach the gospel. Why aren't there more people responding? Because this is the condemnation that men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. That's Bible. So the outward call of the gospel would go unheeded by sinners until the Holy Spirit intervenes. Again, in a demonstration of God's wondrous grace. One of my favorite examples of this. I love bringing this out every time I preach on it. You probably get tired of hearing it. But that's your problem, not mine. Because I love talking about it. One of the most amazing turnarounds in the Bible is Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Think about what his will was. What was his free will? It's expressed. His free will was, I'm going there with letters of authority. I'm going to find every Christian I can. I'm going to arrest them. I'm going to see that they're in prison. And I hope that some of them are going to be put to death. That was where his free will was running, man. Totally contrary to God. Jesus Christ changed all that in a moment. In a moment. This guy that was trying to persecute the followers of Christ out of hatred and malice suddenly said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" God forcibly changed his will, his heart, his mind. He was drawn to Jesus Christ miraculously. What produced the change in Saul? Was it something in him that caused him to be saved? No. The answer is found in his own testimony, Galatians 1:15. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." There it is again. Free grace only. You're never going to forget the title of this series, are you? 2 Timothy 1:9 affirms this truth. "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Every aspect of salvation so far. Now, I got about 3 or 4 more points on this, and I ain't going to make it in 5 minutes. So we're gonna stop there and pick up next week, because I want to focus on how grace is demonstrated in the sacrificial death of Christ. And you've got to get this to understand free grace. The amazing love that Jesus Christ has for us. I can't wait to preach it next week. Let's all stand.
Page number 140.
Wow.
Good job, Joe. That was very forcible. Page 140.